against the nursery glass. She's sleeping like a rock. Thank you, fellers.
Thank you, fellers. Another request from the Red Heifer. The special connotation today, because I have something to share that relates, at least in one translation, to that exact phrase, fly away. Hi, everybody. This is Jerry. Hank at my side. He's always ready, like a six-shooter, ready to be pulled out in an instant. Father, thank you for this fellowship we have and the work that you do through and with us. Beloved Lord, and we're looking for your quick rescue as you have led us to, and we believe in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Who is Hank? I am in shock. It's Hank Williams Sr. at my side. Just a button click away in my studio. He's a good companion. Interesting things continuing to go on, including with Jason. He called me last night, which wasn't really last night. It was this morning. And we talked for quite a while and had a couple of interesting things. The Lord is really, really reinforcing even his Emily's dreams from the middle of this past year, or this year, if you want to think of it that way, in June, July. And then I had an experience that something he said relates yesterday on the show relates to a wonderful, wonderful job he did in laying all the things out that he's been experiencing. And so we'll just see. We'll just see. Judy's going to call in. I think she's going to share something with us while she has a moment.
Hi, Jer Bear.
Hi, Judy.
Hey, Benster, Lana, Raina, Michelle, and Rojo, and Trevi. Anyway, guys, I had the most awesome prophetic dream last night. Okay, first of all, I had a dream the night before that I got married in the natural. Forgot to say that. And then last night, I had a dream that I was on a tour bus in the New Jerusalem. And it was so fun. Everybody was telling me, you've got to go on the tour bus in the New Jerusalem. There's some great hills. And in San Francisco, we have some famous hills where the streets are very crooked, or they just go straight up and down. They're just kind of scary. And if you don't have brakes that work, you're screwed. But anyway, it was like a much steeper than the steepest street in San Francisco, and it just went straight down. And it was so beautiful. It was in the New Jerusalem. And somebody was saying, you have to get this certain tour guide. She's the best. And she was like an older woman. She was so amazing. And I would have been afraid normally, but she had such a great reputation. But what she does is she speeds down the hill in the New Jerusalem. I know I sound crazy. I've lost it. But she speeds down the hill, and it's just really, really fun. And then I was touring the New Jerusalem with a bunch of other people, and I was with Sarah Bell. She was with me, and we went to an animal park. And this animal park was so much fun. And when we were there, we met people. We were all just having a great time. We bought stuff in the gift shop, and we bought like animal masks and all this really fun stuff. We were going around in costumes, and it was just a really great dream. So I guess the New Jerusalem's going to have hills on it, because that's what my dream was, and it was really real. It was so fun. So I just wanted to share that. I'm going to put my phone on mute. And I'm going to listen
to
the
show. Wait. We have a show-related question for that dream.
Oh,
you
okay.
Said that there were masks and costumes. Were there donkey masks?
Oh, I didn't see any.
Oh, no. Man. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just had to ask. Had to ask.
We had so much fun, though. Sarah bought another swimming suit, and it was really cute. And then it was covered with this lace top, and then she bought an animal mask. We had so much fun. I think my sister was in it, too, if I remember. She was buying a shirt at the animal park. You know, when my son visited when my son visited heaven on many occasions, he said, "Mom, it's just a lot like Earth, except it's way better." So, I mean, that's what the New Jerusalem looked like. I mean, I was on a tour. It was like a tour. It wasn't like a bus. It was like a tour vehicle. It was nicer than a bus. It was really nice, guys. It's just a clean world. It was really clean. The fun we were having was clean, good fun. It was just so happy. And when I woke up, I got in the fetal position because I'm like, what am I still doing here? It was such a good dream.
Right.
I went back into the fetal position and made myself fall back asleep. But the funny thing is I've been staying up until 2 and 3 because I'm so excited about leaving. But last night I went to bed before midnight, and so then I woke up around 5, and I had this dream about going in the New Jerusalem down this really famous hill. Okay, so when I woke up at 5, I was like, oh, that was so cool. And then my son's a real early bird, so he was up. I'm like, hey, sweetie. He goes, what are you doing up? I go, oh, I don't know. I'll go back to bed. And when I went back to bed, my dream took off exactly where it left off in the New Jerusalem. So cool.
Wow.
And it's up like at 10 or 11. And, you know, my son was already doing his stuff. And it was just, you guys, I'm so excited. We have such a bright future. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
If anyone has seen from the Lord, if anyone's seen what the New Jerusalem's going to look like, please send me a link or explain to me. Like, I bet you somebody on YouTube has had a vision of it, but just send it to my email or call in if God's given you any vision. This is my first one. So there's definitely going to be a hill. There's going to be a really big, famous hill. And there's going to be tour guides so that, I don't know, that I guess, you know, there's going to be order like that. It was so, so, so fun. Who knows? Maybe it's going to be nothing like my dream, but my dream was really fun. And the water park was amazing. And God's just great. And he's coming to get us. So don't be upset if he's not here yet. I'm just filled with anticipation and hope. So it's not going to be long, guys. Probably today. So we have this whole week is basically a date-setting week through Sunday. You just can't make this kind of anticipation and joy that's filling me up, even when I'm in the fetal position.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I was actually thinking about that today. I was having that urge also. But I wasn't really in a bad place, but I still thought about it. You know, there is a scripture where it talks about the New Jerusalem. And its name is translated like God is there. Because it's in the Greek, though, it doesn't really have a direct Hebrew thing. I translated it as Yehovah Shalom.
Mm.
That's the name of, in Hebrew, the name of New Jerusalem, Yehovah Shalom.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Billy's posting a big sign in the chat room.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, because Mama Pat made it into the chat room. That's a big sign, right, Billy?
It is
Mama
a big,
Pat
yeah, absolutely.
In. Yeah, Keith showed her how to get in. It was so fun having her there. I was walking the cat and stuff, but then I came back, and my pleasant surprise, Mama Pat was in the chat room. I'm bummed, too, because it's a night that I went to bed early because I've been staying up late. I really love chat, just hanging out. I was watching Netflix movies. I've been watching all these disaster movies. It's so fun. You guys should check out. Well, they're kind of older movies, but... It's just they make me happy, and that's okay. They just make me happy. I sent Jerry a list of movies I've been watching.
Yeah, it looks...
They just make me happy. They make me happy.
At least they're real movies. You know, back in the 70s and the 80s, they did this string of disaster movies for TV, and they were a bit weak for the most part.
Right.
The ones you have are the ones you have on your list are better.
Deep Impact, Core, The Core, Outbreak, you know, The Sum of All Fears. What else? There's Armageddon with Bruce Willis. These are some good movies. Okay. These are really fun. And they're so true. It's exactly how it's going to go down. I mean, not exactly, but really, 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 really close to it. Oh, thank you, Raina. She sent me a link to about maybe the New Jerusalem or something. I don't know. Thanks. Raina, darling. I just know there's a really big hill and it's really pretty and it's clean. We have so much to look forward to. And Sarah Bell, thank you for all your issues on the line. She made a great video today about rest. And just, I know, if you're like in your 20s or 30s, I don't know about you. I mean, it makes it a little easier that I'm older to rest. But, guys, I couldn't have sat on my butt for 5 minutes. So kudos to everyone who's 30 and under, who's waiting on the Lord. And God bless you. Hang in there. We are out of here, okay? And the only reason why I'm able to do it right now is because God has me tied up on everywhere I look, so there's nothing I can do. But I'm telling you, this isn't for wimps. Resting and waiting on the Lord, like Ben said, God told him that word. Waiting is an act of worship, and you're going to be blessed, and you're going to see things you wouldn't have seen had you not been waiting on the Lord. You know, back when God fell on my son, I asked my son to ask God if I could go back to work. It was in January or February because, I mean, he still wasn't here. And my son said, Mom, God said you could, but why would you want to? Why would you? So it was an option, and it really wasn't an option because he was going to homeschool him. So, the thing is the RCC wouldn't have been started because it was in January, I think. Yeah. It wouldn't have been started if I decided to do that. Because, I mean, sitting on the Lord every day, don't take it for granted, those of you who are called just to wait and aren't working. And those that you are working, you're in a blessed position too. Everywhere you go, you're going to be blessed. Whatever God has called you to do, and you're doing it with all your heart in this last hour, you're going to be blessed. But, like, I'm telling you, I wouldn't have all the riches I have had if I would have been the kind of person that I used to be, which was fine for that season of my life. But never would you find me sitting until I was laying down in my bed at night. I mean, it started at 6 a.m. And like most people that are single moms and busy, and public school teacher especially, there was so much to do always, always, always. Even when I was at my son's ball games, I was grading papers. I mean, I never just sat. I mean, and I seriously didn't, because when I got off work, I went on my bike to bike home. I mean, I just not. And so what I'm saying is I have found something I've never had before, which is physical rest this past year. But there's also a blessed rest that you can have even if you're still working, guys. It's a rest for your soul. It's an attitude of the heart. I know Billy had to go back to work. None of us thought he would see his job again, but he won't be there for long. And you can find that place of rest and of detachment even if you are working. I mean, there's a place in him that he can bring us to no matter what we're doing. If we're, you know, for me particularly, my rest was defined as doing nothing. That's how God wanted to define it. But your rest could be defined as going to work, you know, carrying on. But your soul is at rest. Your soul is waiting for him. Your soul is not really engaging in what you're doing, but you're doing it because you're the Lord's calling you to do it. And it's just a really neat place to be. So don't envy my place. I won't envy yours. We just get the most out of the place that we're in, and it's so exciting. It's so exciting for me for the first time in my life this past year to honestly say I am, like, most of the stuff I've seen that God has shown me, it would not have happened. I'm so glad I didn't go back to work. It would not have happened had I not taken plan A. He would have still shown me things because he's good. He's always going to bless me. He loves me. He's always got a good plan for me. Plan A, B, C, D, E, F. You know, it's all good. But after he fell on my son, I'm like, I'm sticking with plan A because he's coming. And just be excited, because you cannot. I'm glad Sarah Bell made that video today, because you can't say it enough. It's kind of like when you tell people God loves them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They want to hear something more exciting, because it's like, yeah, yeah, God loves me. Anything else? You have another word for me? It's like, you don't get it, though. If you don't get totally hammered by just thinking about how God has prepared your mansion and the marriage supper and how everything revolves around you and you're the apple of his eye, if you can't really know that and get completely blitzed out and hammered on that and just intoxicated, then you haven't digested it. And this whole thing about rest is the same thing. You can hear it a million times. Go take a rest. Rest in him. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now what can I do? No. Seriously, rest in him. No matter where you're at, you guys, this is the last second on earth. This really is. And just rest. you can find a place of rest no matter what you're doing. And ask the Lord, say, where do I find this rest that Judy's talking about? Even if I have to go to work and go to the gym and go to stupid parties and this, and he'll show it to you. And you're not going to miss out because you're right where you're supposed to be. You're not flat on your butt like I am, because that's not what he's called you to do, you know? I'm embracing, but I have resisted it at times and gotten back kind of a little more busy. And I didn't, I receive more when I'm in plan A, let's put it that way. But we have choices every day, guys. Every day we have a choice, okay? And to the best of my ability, I've stayed in the highest calling since he fell on my son. To the best of my ability, I really believe I have not done anything he hasn't wanted me to. I might have gone a little too far with the yoga and having kids over. Mm-hmm. But I never goes too far because he, like, gets me, like, don't go today. Like, he didn't let me go to yoga like the last 5 days. He's like, just stay with me. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm good with that. And my son has had no desire to have friends over, which is really weird. And so I'm like enjoying that because I don't have to cook for a bunch of kids and clean and do all this stuff. So it's been really sweet. And there's just so much favor. Please watch Sarah Bell's video. It's called Rest. And honestly, you can't go deep enough in the love and in the rest of God. And just try not to let it roll off your mind because, oh, yeah, rest in God. Oh, yeah, God loves me. What's next? You know, no, just sit in that and rest in that peace. Sit in that knowledge of his love and go deeper. And then you'll be hammered. See, I'm hammered 24/7, but then I get extra hammered, okay? So you can always be hammered, but then you can get, like, blitzed. And you can be a drunk offering like Marianne is. Marianne is a drunk offering.
That's what we need to be.
Yeah, you guys, he's so good. He's so good. He really is, like, all we need. And you know what? Go ahead, get back in that fetal position. You know, just do what you need to do till he gets here. Get under those covers. And Tressie in the chat room said, he asked when he woke up yesterday, is there anything you want me to do today? And the Holy Spirit answered him, just be happy. That is so true. So true. Happy.
Awesome. That's it. That is it. We can give that an amen, no doubt about it. I'll do it in a minute. That's awesome, Judy. Thanks. I feel good, a little bletched, stressed and bletched, blessed and stretched. But I don't feel like I have to do anything about it. And it reflects what Tressie was shown. We'll just be happy. I get everybody on the line. We got a lot of callers here in a minute. Or maybe I won't. That's different. I might be having a little internet problem here. Maybe I'll open up a phone line and ask a question here. Or just see if I can. I don't know if this is finished opening up yet. Marianne, are you online yet? Are you opened up? Okay. Well, let me, you wouldn't let me play a song. Okay. Hold on here. Looks like I need to recycle my internet or something. Actually, what I was going to mention was that Judy mentioned looking at Cerebell's video, and before the show, I had trouble getting onto YouTube, and I still am, but now I don't know if it's my problem or a YouTube issue.
Yeah, it's only a two-minute video. And Michelle was saying in chat that when she was crying out to the Lord last night because she wasn't feeling well, he told her, I'm coming to rescue you. Yay! Yeah. I had to read that. Sorry, go ahead, Jerry. That's so awesome.
No,
thanks,
that's
Sharon.
Awesome. I'm just glad to hear something else because I was not having any success on the board here. So I'm trying to get a different internet connection and then go from there.
Okay.
So that was good. I had a thing today. Got a couple things to offer. Mike. Jason mentioned a particular thing yesterday when he was doing his download of all the things that he's been experiencing. And what he mentioned was that the 9th of January,
Jerry,
is 400. Yeah.
Wall Street just fell another 46 points. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had to re-log in. That's weird. Anyway, so from part of this pattern that we've been shown is a 400-day pattern. The original center point was July 28th. The basic endpoint is December 25th. It was 300 days from February 28th to December 25th. But it was also 400 days from the 20th of November, the day Judy quit her job, the day after the Lord fell on John, to December 25th. But Jason was moved to look at December 5th. And when you go 400 days from December 5th, you end up at January 9th. Now, he had no idea this at the time because I've had this for a couple of days but haven't been saying it because I didn't want to interfere with the discussion about all the things that Jason was getting. But I had a really powerful dream in two nights in succession where I was mostly shown the 9th, and it seemed to be January 9th. But then it was clarified the next night. But that pattern he mentioned connects directly with it. And so that's one of the things that we talked about. It was actually this morning. Let's see if I can do something here. Let me check.
I was wrong. Wall Street fell again 406 points in the last 2 days.
Oh. Yeah.
So it sounds like the black horse is galloping on Wall Street. This is so exciting. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just sort of looking around here to see what works. Since I've already started this, I guess I should go ahead and finish it. Jason was moved to look at December 5th, which was the beginning of Little John's public ministry, going 400 days to January 9th. What he did not know was that over the morning, really, of the 3rd and the morning of the 4th, I was having dreams which were connected to each other about January 9th. The first dream was just about the 9th. It sort of was implied that it was over the calendar of January. And that's as far as it went. I didn't have any other context. The next night, this was the 4th, and this was hours after Jason did his huge download with Judy over the phone before Judy read later that day on our show the email from Jason, which described some of the things that he'd been going through. That day, I was shown two different things, but the one that's most important is that basically that night, about the time Jason was doing his download, I realized that there was possibly an extension that involved the very end of 2 Kings chapter 2 and Elisha cursing the 42 mockers that took it to early February. And the bizarre thing was that extension from December 25th led to my birthday, exactly. So we have a pattern where the 300-day pattern starts on Judy's birthday and appeared to possibly end in mine. Now, let me be really clear here. I don't think we're getting to February. I'm not talking about February. And in fact, that is why I believe he gave me this dream, which I'm about to say, a vision, really. So Judy's getting the download from Jason about his leading about January 5th, 6th, and 7th. And I'm realizing that the extension that I see as possible, thinking about how do we go, because Jason explained very nicely that I was just not looking at anything in January because I knew it would have to be an extension of the Elijah pattern, and I couldn't see the foundation for it. Because everything else was so connected to Scripture and not just a garage work, but spiritual leading, that I was not going to go somewhere I wasn't led to go. And I was waiting for a leading to see something. Well, the only thing I could come up with was this thing, and it took me to my birthday, which is February 5th. And I'm like, well, this is just, and I was really frustrated because the poignancy of her birthday starting this pattern on the 28th of February and mine potentially ending it. And that really disturbed me because it made it seem somewhat realistic. And that troubled me. And but then I go to bed, and that morning I'm sleeping. I have actually several interesting dreams, but the one in particular, in which I was really shown what I would consider a vision, was I should kick myself for saying February. Sorry, everybody. But I will just point out, by the way, in that context, somebody said September to me today, but we're not going to mention any names. But there's a different reason for it. Vision that I'm bouncing around. I'm just to stage infinity, I guess. Anyway, the vision he gave me was on the second day, he showed me the 9 again, and then he showed me 9 times 3 equals 27. And then he showed me a calendar, like a monthly calendar. But it actually looked like it went more than, 4 or 5 weeks. I was focused on this week in January. And as I was, I saw a giant meat cleaver come down and right on top of the line between the 8th and the 9th of January. And when it came down and hit that place on the calendar, the 9th and everything after it faded, turned to black and faded away. It didn't just turn to black. It wasn't just erased. It turned to black and literally disappeared. There was nothing, not even paper, after of January. I woke up. I remembered it immediately. I immediately realized it was a connection to the 9th that he'd shown me the day before. My first understanding of it was he was showing me that this was an endpoint. This was a place we do not go past. So I believe he was showing me that we do not go past the 8th of January. You could maybe argue we go into the 9th, but I don't think that's what it was implied. I think the cleaver came down right on the line between the 8th and the 9th. And everything after that completely faded away, which seemed like, I realized a little bit later, was a fitting metaphor for us, because that's what we expect to do, is just disappear. And so I'm not saying
You have that dream today or when?
That was that was the 4th. That was the morning of the 4th. That's when I had that. So that was a couple of days ago, but I hadn't mentioned
awesome.
It.
That's so awesome. I love that.
So I don't think we can go past the 8th. I really don't, based on what he's showing me here. Now, the other reason I can say that is because what I then realized was that, okay, this fits into January. I understand he's showing me this is a potential endpoint. And I thought, well, I wonder if that 27 is how many days it is from the 9th to February 5th. And the answer is it is. So he was showing me to lop off that pattern, that those 42 days could legitimately be included in this Elijah pattern out of 2 Kings chapter 2, but to disregard it, to erase it, that while it fits the pattern, it doesn't count. And then I had briefly mentioned this to Judy, but we were so consumed with trying to process all of Jason's info that it was really, I didn't even really want to emphasize it because I wanted to be sure we got everything that Jason had out. And then he mentions himself on the show, something that I don't know that he'd even mentioned to Judy, but certainly I had not heard before. And that was, he was led to look at the 5th and 400 days, 5th of December, and 400 days of it to January 9th. So what he did was, with the Lord's leading, he gave me a nugget that connected January 9th to the Elijah pattern and the experience of RCC as a whole, with Little John starting his public ministry on December 5th. Then this morning when we were speaking, because it really, it was the wee hours of the morning, he keeps stranger hours than even I do. And I realized as we're speaking that he had a huge date set for the 5th. This year, this past year in December, he was strongly himself led to the 5th of December. Then I had a huge date set for the 5th of November prior to that, which goes back 4 years. Okay. And then October 5th was just about Yom Kippur, if I remember right. And, or close to it, within a day, I think. And that also might have been, well, anyway, I'm not sure. I haven't looked back at this. I haven't developed it. What I'm saying is we have a whole string of the 5th days of the month here, and that led up here to January. And he's also looking at the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th. I had spontaneously mentioned a few days ago about the 7th and the 8th. And the thing about the 8th is that I mentioned then was that that it is the 17th of Tevet. So in the Hebrew, in the Jewish calendar that they currently use, the 10th of Tevet, which Marianne, among others, have been led to consider, was the 1st of January. And 7 days later is the 8th of January, the 17th of Tevet. And that mentions the scriptural month of when Noah's dove released, and he knew that all the waters had receded off the face of the earth. He didn't leave the ark then, but that's when he knew, when he released the doves and they did not come back, that all of the water had receded off the face of the earth. And that was the 17th of Tevet. So I believe he's shown us an endpoint here, and it's within the next couple of days. Now, to be clear, I really think we could go any minute, any time, and I have a greater confidence of that in a sense of peace than I've ever had about any of our date sets or what have you. There was no mistaking what he showed me about January. Everything after the night turned black and faded away. Well, I don't know if this relates to Marianne's vision about the asteroid or what, but the rock, the rose-colored rock, which turned black. I don't know. But what I do know is it was really clear to me that everything after the 8th was cut off and faded away. And my impression after thinking about it just briefly was that what I was shown was all of the weeks, all of the days between the 8th and the date that I was considering just hours before that led to my birthday in early February. So that's what I believe he's showing me. We'll have to see what he does. I still do not believe he can. I'm not sure there's much else he can do that isn't extraordinary. We're already biblical. We already have multiple people having experiences and leadings that are reinforcing all of these things. So we're just going to have to see. Jason and I spoke about some other things. He had a little encounter with the Lord, where the Lord was, he has two light, I don't even know if he wants me to mention this. He is a light smoker, and he has a lighter that he uses, and he only smokes like two cigarettes a day or something like that. And last night, he had this experience. He's got two lighters, an orange one and a green one. He always uses the orange lighter, and it lasts a long time, I guess, because he doesn't use it much. Last night, he had it in his pocket. He went outside to have a smoke. He sat down, reached for his lighter, and it was gone. And he didn't know. He had no idea where it went. And he asked God, "Did you take it?" And the Lord told him yes. So he wanted to talk to me to see what kind of answer I got. And that was the answer I got. And then not only he told me yes twice, and then he goes, "It's cool." Like with a little attitude, a little positive attitude. It was funny. And so what he was getting out of that was he had to go back in and get his green lighter. And he thought green meant green for go. So that was the message he felt like he got last night.
Jerry, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah.
What is today? Is today the 14th of Tevet or was yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday.
I believe, let me double check myself, but the 14th of Tevet actually was the 5th. So Jason's big date set was the 14th of Tevet. Today is the 15th. Tomorrow's 16th. The 8th is 17th.
Is this 14 through 17?
Okay. Yeah, 5th to the 8th. Yeah, that would fit perfectly what you were thinking, I would say. Yeah, especially with such a huge date set on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
From Jason and many different ways. So, yeah, I would. Anyway, that's what I experienced. That's pretty much the long and the short of it. And I don't know what anybody else wants to make. All I can tell you is what he's showing me. It's the most direct, clear, positive thing. Keep in mind, this Elijah pattern was shown to me very shortly after I inquired of God. I said, if we're going to fall over the finish line, we need to be able to see the end point. And so from the beginning, I've interpreted this Elijah pattern as an answer to that request to see an end point, which, of course, he laid out long before we had any idea he was going to do it. But so here we are. Jason gives me, sort of a garage kid extension, but also inspired by God, extension of the Elijah pattern. And then at the same time, and he didn't know it, the Lord was showing me a vision where all the days from that point afterwards are gone. And obviously that would mean for us. So, praise God. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to test my studio skills here real quick, and then we'll get everybody open. I want to make sure everything's working, too. So we were trying to be happy a while ago. Let's try it again.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
okay, I'm happy. I'm happy. We have the studio working again. Woohoo. And we can be happy. And now I'm happy to open the phone lines. Before I do, I'll say hi to everybody in chat. Ben's in chat. Bill's in chat. Judy's in chat. Alana, Raina, Michelle, Rosemary, and Tressie. Hi, Tressie. Great to see you. And then we've got a lot of people online who've been patient, and thank you. Here's Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hey, everybody. Everybody in chat. I'm so glad to have Pat in chat last night. That was so much fun.
It was
really
a lot of fun.
And everyone just keep my health in your prayers every day. Today was a really, really rough day. We had the carpets ripped out,
wow.
So I think it caused all kinds of problems in me today. But we got new carpets in.
Oh.
And so that's good, yeah. The allergies were out of control
mm-hmm.
today. So,
yeah.
I'm glad that we did that. And so I was like, okay, Lord, but time for us to go home. I'm really excited about Judy's dream, though. That was really, really exciting, the New Jerusalem. Wonderful,
yep, so
wonderful.
Definitely something to look forward to. Yeah, really cool.
Yeah,
I think it's
funny that she said she had a dream where she got married, because I know last time she was married to Jonathan Kleck or was going to marry him, so I was wondering if she was two-timing him or what was going on with this current one. But anyway.
Well, we will just have to wait and see how that works.
Yeah,
out.
That mystery, that's been in my mind, been trying to figure out the whole time she's been saying that. So, okay, go ahead.
Who knows what might happen there?
Did you mute me, Jerry?
No, I didn't.
Hello?
You're there.
You, how do you allow this man to say this stuff about your jackass, Judy? Huh? I'm just kidding.
Well,
Keith, you are next in line. I married you, baby. You and I.
Part heifer, part donkey.
No, but seriously, I keep having these dreams that I'm in love with all these different guys, and then I marry them. I've had like five of them all together. I don't even know these people, except the one I recognize was Kleck. You know, I think I'm just a romantic at heart or something, but I don't know. Guys, we're going to marry one person, but I don't know. They're just marriage dreams.
But it's rapture stuff, because you're having
really
these marriage dreams, and we're going to get married. It's all rapture
What's
stuff.
That?
I agree. It's all rapture stuff, because we're going to get married
to
our
so
Lord
cool.
soon. So, yeah. Totally.
That's right.
But I didn't
That's
know
right.
he was married. It was a marriage dream. Keith was hoping it was him. Jerry was hoping it was him. Billy's hoping it was him. I'm kidding. Well, look, Katie and Joe actually really got married. Can you guys believe that? It's like, whoa, this wasn't a dream. This actually happened.
Wow. I know.
Yeah. I think it's
Oh, and guess what?
Like
God told Katie. God told Katie he was going to come before her birthday, and her birthday's in 8 days.
Oh, praise God. Wonderful.
I know.
So
it's
good.
Just really exciting. Yeah.
Wow.
And this time last year, Katie wasn't married, and he said he had a surprise for her, so she got married. And then she's going to get raptured, which is so cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
Oh, guess what? Tressie was saying in the chat room that he was on his way to the store, and he invited God to join him, and it was raining, and God told him, don't forget your bank card. And then, oh, my gosh. And then he forgot it. He said, yeah, and he still forgot it. And 15 minutes before the store closed, but I ran home and got back to pay for it just on time. So, Tressie, the moral of the story is listen to God when he says to do something right away. Do it. Like, don't put it on hold. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
Very, very good thing.
Hey, and guys, don't forget, in this last hour, God will help you with every detail that you're doing. Every little detail. Like, you can invite him in everything, like Tressie did, to go on the walk. Because today, I invited him. I was at Target. And he totally, I'm like, can I get this? And he didn't answer me a direct yes or no. Instead, he flooded me with all this peace. And, like, all I could say was a green light. It was just like, he just was like, peace and joy and excitement. And it was like a green light. And it was so fun because after I made the purchase, I was driving in my car and he filled me with all this joy. Like, everything, you got everything I wanted you to get, you know. And it was so cool. I love him. He's so good, guys. He's not only meeting my needs, but, you know, he really goes beyond what he needs to do for me. I just had to give him that. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. You're so good. I didn't think I'd even get have any
Amen.
Money at the store this time, but he is just, he's providing, okay, guys, and he's going to provide for you right up until we leave. And don't just think it's going to be the minimum. You just never know what he's up to. I never know what he's up to nowadays when I go to the store. I'm thinking I'm going to get, you know, some more beans and rice, and he's like, grab this, grab this.
Well, you don't even know who you're marrying, so, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't.
Well, there's like 10 guys I'm marrying, I know.
I don't know how you can make up, you know, your mind what you want for dinner. It seems
job,
like an impossible
Jerry.
Challenging
yeah.
concept.
I hope I have a dream that I'm marrying Tressie next. I hope it's Tressie next. Maybe Ben after that. I don't know. Just kidding. It's, hey, you know what? I'm not the only one. Jared has these. But Jared picks Hollywood people. He marries Ariana Grande and all that. Grande or whatever. Jared's had at least 4 or 5 of these he's marrying people dreams where he wakes up all in love. It's really cute. We just aren't romantic enough, I'm telling you guys.
Yeah, I know I'm not.
Just don't go marrying a bunch of people, though. You know, just going to marry one.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind. We can start a little advice column from the jackass.
Honestly, I'm so checked out. I have not one romantic bone in my body, just so y'all know. The only thing I can think about is going home, taking my cats on a walk, and eating pizza. That's it. I don't want to do anything else after that. Binge and you.
There
I buy Amy's organic the crust, and then I load it with all my own toppings, and I cook it at home.
Sounds awesome.
Hi,
okay, let me get some other people opened up here. Here's Mama Pat, maybe. There's
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Mom.
Love you.
Love you, Pat.
Hi. Love you, too.
I was so surprised last night because I was showing her pictures of Jerry from the 70s with the
That's not him.
Oh
my goodness.
That doesn't look very manly.
Oh my god.
Well, I didn't believe you anyway. That was really not him.
Welcome to chat.
No.
We love you.
Well, I finally got in. I mean, stupid here, you know.
No,
my brain fries with the computer
stuff.
Hey,
it's a game
I'm getting
in. Only Ben got me in, so then I got you in.
Oh.
Work.
Tech chart here, guys, big time.
Right.
Yeah, it makes my brain fry. But I got it. I saved
some
things, so.
Let me get some other people on here.
Sure,
Pat, I sent you an email, by the way.
I did. Yeah,
Sarah,
forget it.
It's okay.
Sarah
Bell
online.
Hi, honey.
Hi. Yeah, I haven't been wanting to tell Judy this whole time. Well, I'm not so sure about what I'm saying, Judy, but I really feel like your dream might not have been a dream. It's hard to explain, but you probably weren't really dreaming.
You mean when I was down New Jerusalem?
I'm so serious.
The water park and all that?
Yeah.
I know, I'm serious. Seriously,
like, I feel like it was at least 80% not a dream, and there's like a 20% chance that it really was a dream, but I don't think so.
I'm right there with you because you were in it, and it was so real.
I know, I'm like, I feel like that really happened. I didn't even have the dream.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Why I went back in a fetal position and went back to bed because I wanted more.
I
took up right where I left off. Has that ever happened to you where he takes off right where you left off when you go back to bed?
Yeah, I don't really get dreams like that. Well, maybe once or twice.
Yeah,
it's very rare.
A few times, yeah. Hey, about one minute for everybody to call in. Go ahead, Sir Bell.
I think I might just cry for the rest of my life.
Oh.
Literally. hey guys, the rest of my life isn't very long.
That's right.
So I'm just trying to get all my stuff out now.
Yeah.
Not
sure.
Party.
We have Ben on the line, I think. Come on, the button's on right.
Hey.
There's Ben.
Yeah, you're a little late on that one.
Hi, Ben.
Unless I have a problem with something.
Yeah, it's a little balky right now. And Joe, and I think it's Joe and Katie, because I saw Katie calling briefly.
Hi,
and then,
hey, Joe and Katie, love you.
Love you.
Come on, one of you can pick up the phone and say hi. I'm tired of this stuff, not hearing you guys.
Listen to the pop
there.
Come on, guys.
Sorry, working, man.
Okay.
My bad. I was holding like 6 things. But that's no good excuse. Hi, I send my love.
That's okay. We love you, Joe.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, you can go back to what you were doing. We wanted to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
And it's Tana.
Hey, everybody. Love you all. Love you, Jesus.
Love you, too, honey.
Love you, too.
Praise you, Jesus. Jesus helped me this morning. I was getting ready to leave for work, and he reminded me, you need your ID. So I ran back inside to grab it. I listened to him, and I ran back inside to grab it.
Oh, how cute.
See,
how convenient.
She took Trusty's advice before he gave it. She listened to him right away.
Good for you, girl.
Yeah, and I didn't poop with SpongeBob today, obviously, but I'm in SpongeBob at 11:55 a.m. tomorrow. So,
whoa.
You know,
I'm
going through yellow goo. I prefer not to go through yellow goo. I prefer to go now, but I don't want to do.
Tana, yellow goo is your destiny.
Oh, my goodness.
I hit my head today. I was silly and hit my head, so I have a goose egg. So if you want to play my goose egg
game.
Oh,
what thing? You okay?
It's throbbing a little bit, but it's all right.
Oh, honey.
You know, if I could have hit it harder, I could have been with Jesus earlier, but I didn't think
about it. Hey.
No cheaters. No cutting in line.
No cutting in line, no.
Oh, my goodness.
We are crazy.
We're all rapture retards. Oh, my goodness. Only we would say that.
Right.
So, like, pray that it gets worse, I guess. Don't pray for pray that it gets really bad. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, I want to go healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, find a wall and do it again. All right.
Okay, here's Alana on the line. Hi, Alana.
Hey, Alana.
Alana of the Queen of the Sound Problems. I think she anointed herself.
Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm just listening to your beautiful voices.
We love you, honey.
Love you back. Cool.
No, sweetie.
Love you.
And Raina. Hi, Raina.
Hey, Raina.
Love you, Raina.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I love you guys, and I can't wait to go.
Oh.
No, I can't. No, right. I can't wait to go either.
I want to cry.
Aw, we hear you, honey.
He hit me yesterday. He hit me yesterday that if he doesn't take us here in the next couple of days, it will have been cruel. That's all I can say.
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Just so much anticipation. So much.
Yeah.
And yet, my daughters keep telling me that they're going to do at least one of them, a version of I'll Fly Away that I can play in the show. And
I love that version you play, Jerry. It's classic.
It's really cool.
It's classic.
Some people just,
it's classic.
Yeah. Some people just aren't down with the rustic feel of it. But,
harmony.
If I can get her to do it, it'll be, I think, really, really nice. But it okay. has to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. She's still a teenager. That's all I can say.
Isn't that your Jerry? Isn't that the daughter that sang that Frozen song, or what was the song she wrote?
She sang tonight and Frozen. Yeah.
Okay.
So and yesterday we talked about it, and we were already starting to work around with it a little bit. So, but she still has to do it, and she's like on vacation from school, and she's a teenager, so there's a fine line there. You know, she's not, you know, I think she'll do it, but I don't know how it'll work out. But it could, if it comes out the way I think, it's going to be, I think, really cool, if we can get it recorded properly.
She's doing it on her time, in other words. It's her, she's doing it on her time. When she's ready.
Totally.
Keith, I will remind you that Hank Williams Sr. is most likely in heaven. And he's probably singing it up there.
Yeah, well, we're singing for him down here, so I hope.
What?
That song killed him off. It was so bad.
What'd you say?
That song killed him off. It was so bad.
And we hired him. He's going to be standing outside Keith's mansion when Keith arrives, singing it for him, welcoming him home.
I think they heard you. I'm pretty sure they heard you. Come on, Hank. Hold on, Hank. See?
That song sucks.
He's ready anytime, Keith. We also have Michelle on the line.
Poor Hank, he's got no eggs on him.
Hey, everyone. Love you all.
Love you.
Hi, Michelle.
love you, Jesus.
Yep, we love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, too.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Poor Hank.
Okay. I have one other thing that I want to specifically tell everybody about, but I want to make sure that if anybody else has something, does anybody have anything in particular experience or leading or something they wanted to share today?
I have like Cinemax on or something like that, and just as the second hour started, there's some movie on, I don't even know what the name of it is, but it just showed 1 John 2:18 that says the Antichrist is here and that we're going home soon. I'm sitting here going like, maybe I should share that. But just now, like 5 minutes ago, 1 John 2:18.
That's awesome.
Really, only God can do that. I get 1,000 channels. I could have been on any channel, but it says channel.
Mm.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
My daughter sort of spontaneously sent me that song we played yesterday, which mentions, you know, aligning the stars and things, and the really cool RCC song, and which is Standing By, I think was what it was. And then in the wee hours this morning, I was just winding up, and Jason called me, and so when I saw he was calling, I real quick just stopped. I had music playing, and the songs basically that I have in the studio. I have a group of songs. I had those playing, and I just real quick stopped the music, closed the computer, and just went away and had sat down and talked to him. Well, so flash forward the next day, we've got a snow day. One girl stays home from school. The other day we have to take, and there's 4 inches of snow we have to shovel after I get done with the snow delivery. And we go through all that stuff, and I haven't looked at or opened my computer yet. And I come in from shoveling all the snow. My daughter, the older daughter's going, and she was helping me get stuff cleared out and moving one of the cars out of the street. And I change clothes real quick, come back downstairs to get something to eat. And I get there, and just about the same time I walk right past her computer, which is in the kitchen, it starts to play Counting Stars, which is a song that we have in studio also. And And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And it just reminded me of the song that basically he sent to me through my daughter yesterday. So then I get my cereal or whatever it was. I came upstairs. I opened up my computer. And I had no idea the song that had just loaded in to start playing was Counting Stars.
Wow.
So it's like, soon we'll be counting stars because we're not going to be here anymore. So all I can tell you is I had a huge flirt this morning, and
yeah.
In addition to the things that I've said.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, Marianne, that was really cool.
I know, what a
did
flirt.
Anybody else?
Flirt for all of us.
Totally, totally. Well, I'm really believing it. There's just no mistaking the message he's sending me, and so it's up to him. It's like these other date sets. We didn't know, certainly some of the things that I experienced, I didn't know what he was going to do with them. But what we have seen is he's done something with every one of them, and at least a lot of the major ones. And so all I can do is report what he showed me, and we'll have to see what he does with it. But I think no matter what, something very dramatically will be different starting on the 9th of January. And we'll have to see what that is in his
Jerry,
context.
I do want to say something. When you said that it just kind of fell off and became black, you know, when this pink stone became black in my vision, you know, it was almost the end of it. Reminded me if you burned a marshmallow. Mm. That when it turned black, that's what it looked like. If you had burned a marshmallow, that kind of crispy black thing. And so when you said it looked like it was just burned away, I just went, that was exactly the way it was in my vision.
That is so cool. I didn't say it, but I have a stone just like that in my room on my little, whatever you call the windowsill. I have a stone exactly like that, a rose quartz stone. So if I wake up and it's black, I'm going to start freaking out. That would be awesome.
Marianne gets cold.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
I think it's totally, totally poofable.
Yeah.
Does anybody
gosh, it sounds exactly like what this stone was doing.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
It wasn't just like the quartz became black. It became a different substance.
Yeah. Bubbly.
Well, when this was done, it was completely, it wasn't just, it hadn't just turned black. It was like it disappeared. I mean, it was as if it wasn't even there anymore. It was almost like staring out into space. Now, you had this page of a calendar, and the cleaver comes down, and everything from the 9th, basically at the end of the 8th on, was just, it turned black, but completely faded away. Like, if it wasn't even there. There was no page left. There was nothing.
That's an awesome vision.
I really felt like, I really felt like it was a metaphor for us, that it was both marking an endpoint and also indicating, you know, a really fitting way to display that we expect to literally disappear. So, see what he does. We've got Billy on the line, too. And
hey, Bill.
I said that, sorry. Maybe I did or maybe I didn't. Anyway, did anybody else have anything that they wanted to share?
If nobody else has anything, I'm going to share something really, really quick that happened today. Today was my day to rest. I mean, I've been doing something every day, and today was like my day to be at home by myself, you know. And somebody pulls in my back driveway in a pickup and knocks on my door, and it's the wind and hail insurance guy that they, you know, they out here, they come and do an annual check on people's roofs because we have hurricanes. And I said, if you see anything wrong with the roof, I said, will you let me know? And I'll just go ahead and get it repaired. And he said, well, you know, he said, this is, you know, a kind of an older roof and everything. And he said, but it's probably got a couple of years left in it, at least. And I said, I won't even need that because I said the rapture is going to happen before then. And he smiled at me and he said, really? And I go, yeah. I said, it's going to happen like this week or maybe even next. And he goes, okay. Then the Terminix guy shows up to do my annual inspection, and he knocks on the door, and he says, I'm going to be crawling underneath your house. And I said, okay. I said, you know, if you see anything, you know, let me know. So he comes and he knocks on the door. And down here, you know, we're at sea level. And everybody's, you know, like an inch above the water line. And he said, well, you know, I got the sump pump, but he said you could always use a moisture barrier. And I said, this house has been here for 35 years. It doesn't need a moisture barrier. Nothing has changed. And I said, stop trying to sell me something. I said, are you working by commission? And he said, well, yes, as a matter of fact. And he said, I am. And I said, you should never tell anybody that. And I said, I'm not buying your product. I said, have a good day. And I said, and it doesn't matter. I said, because God is in control of this house, and he hasn't let anything happen to this house in all these years. And I said, he's not going to start now. And I said, besides that, I said, the rapture's going to happen pretty soon. And he goes, oh, my gosh. He said, you must have been talking to my mother. And I said, well, you don't listen to your mother. And then he kind of, like, did this thing where, you know, like when you have a headache and you kind of squeeze the bridge of your nose. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, well, I've had just this terrible headache all day long. And I said, well, here, let me give you some aspirin. So I put some aspirin in a napkin. I handed it to him. He's on the front porch. And I said, or I can just pray over you. And he goes, that would be okay. So I prayed over him. And I said, you know, I'm sorry not buying your product, but I hope your headaches were better. And he said, well, actually, it's gone. And he said, and I've had it for 2 days. I said, well,
wow,
that's the power of the Holy
beautiful.
Spirit. Have a blessed day. So the third intrusion on my quiet day was the people that wear the little black ties and knock on your door when they come in twos, the Jehovah Witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they came to the door, and, of course, I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't want to even open the door. But finally, I took Casper to the front door with me because he barks and he's a big dog. And they were kind of standing there getting ready to depart because I had waited so long. And I just looked at them and I said, I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say, but you need to know that Jesus is Lord and have a nice day. And I just closed the door. So three times today,
tell them the rapture's coming.
God gave me the opportunity
to
spread the word.
Yeah.
I mean, is he not awesome?
Yes.
Wow. That is awesome.
They don't believe in the rapture.
I mean, he brought these people to my door for a reason. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He planted seeds.
God reigns.
And you showed them the rose quartz of God's heart.
Say again.
I said you showed them the rose quartz of God's heart.
That's right. Well, the Jehovah Witnesses, they're so deceived.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so deceived.
Oh, yeah.
And used.
And used.
And very used. Yeah.
And it breaks my heart for them.
Yeah.
So. I hope that God
blesses
those boys and shows them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I had to share. I just thought it was kind of funny. My day to rest and God had me working. Praise the Lord.
That's it. Wow. Well, we're right in there. I guess what I can do is go in. If anybody else has something, just, you know, you can go ahead and mention it. This isn't going to take too long, I don't think. What I have been looking at a little bit for the first time ever, really, is, I don't know how many of you follow Peter John with the clock prophecy that the Lord gave him. The Lord, I followed him for a while, and then as part of paring down the different places that I went, I actually kind of stopped going and following his stuff, even though I found some of what he had to say interesting. And without doing a sort of a referendum on him, some months later, I was in prayer and I was seeking some additional clues for some things. And just inquiring of the Lord, you know, if there was something to look for. And he very specifically put in my mind the clock.
Yeah.
And the clock, what clock? Because I wasn't thinking about Peter John at all. And I'm like, oh, you mean Peter John? And he's like, yeah. So I went back and I have followed his things. Now, the one thing I do want to say about Peter John, if those of you don't know, he's got a YouTube that's called J-O-Rama 1, I think it is his channel. And he's got, I think, a website and also a different YouTube channel now. And the Lord visited him, and he also says he's been visited by angels one or two other times. I'm not sure exactly. And started him on this clock, and there's a history behind it. He's got it all documented. But basically, the Lord told him to start a clock, interestingly, on the 17th of December 2010, which was the 10th of Tibet. And
oh,
the Lord gave him
a... Really?
You didn't know that, Mary? You weren't thinking about that?
No, I'm not that calendar person.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's when the Lord told him to start his calendar. Now, this calendar there's sort of three different time scales on it that he lays over things. And you can go look at it. It's YahwehIsMyFather.com, I think. YahwehIsYourFather.com. And there's a hyphen, Yahweh-is-your-father.com. And he, I do believe he's led by the Lord. I do believe that the Lord showed him very important things. The one caution I will give you is in a lot of his commentary, he doesn't do the super best job of separating what the Lord has specifically shown him from his supposition as to what he thinks is going to happen. And just like all of us, our suppositions can be incorrect. But I can tell you that I do believe he was led for some of these things. And one of the things the Lord showed him was a formula for taking all of the verses in the book of Psalms and applying them to this calendar as if they were a day count. And I have kind of ignored that because I followed it a little bit, let's just say just like a lot of our date sets, it hasn't been immediately obvious that it was fully correct. And for whatever reason, well, I have a personal bias, honestly, that plays into this a little bit. But anyway, there's a formula that he gives, and he's been very open about it, that the Lord showed him to use, and to figure out which verse of the psalm might apply to a particular day. And we, in this clock, have just moved into Psalm 90. Many of us are familiar and have, I know Judy's mentioned Psalm 91 many times. And so we're very close as we're going through the Psalms to Psalm 91, which is dramatic salvation and protection in troubled times.
Right.
Well, Psalm 90 started, Psalm 90 verse 1 reflected December 30th this year, according to this formula. So the other day, for the first time ever, I actually took that formula and looked at the verses and figured out which verses would apply to, for example, the 5th of January, the 6th of January, and so on. My but anyway, so in Psalm 90, verse 9 would represent the 7th of January. And in the NIV, that is translated, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Which, in another version, is translated in the NASB, it is translated with a word that Billy likes to use, a sigh. The years are finished with a sigh, a rumbling, a grounding, growling, or what have you. I thought that was notable. And then the next verse, which is Psalm 90, verse 10, says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, which, of course, we discussed this quite a bit, the length of a generation. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away and we fly away. Mm-hmm. This is the NIV. Now, the word is repeated in Hebrew, and it's oof. And the word oof is repeated to say for fly and away. And here is the definition, and I just saw this a couple hours ago. The definition of this word in Hebrew, which is H5774, which is the Hebrew year we just came out of at Tabernacles. Okay. It says the definition of this word oof, which is repeated to expand the meaning of it, to fly, fly away, fly about, fly, hover, to cause to fly, light upon, to fly about, to and fro, to cause to fly, to and fro, brandish, be to fly away, and then the second actual meaning is to cover or to be dark. When I read that, and remember, this verse reflects the 8th of January, according to the formula Peter John has. Instead of fly away, it means you could interpret it to be dark. And in that context, listen to how this verse would read. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and become dark. Well, those days, after this day, this verse reflects the 8th of January, according to his formula that the Lord gave him. And the vision that I saw was literally that every day after the day that this verse represents became dark.
Mm. Yeah.
So I have to say it's pretty strong encouragement and confirmation for all of us.
Jerry, I cannot believe that you're saying this, because 3 days ago I was led to try to figure out on that measure of days when Psalm 91 was. This is I'm sitting here just completely blown away. I'm totally blown away that that God led you to do that. And I took a look at it, and I'm not a garager like you are. But I was led to
I'm trying not to be a garager anymore, by the way.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, Marianne. You're glad you're not. We send him back to the garage as punishment. But yeah,
right, that's right. He's in solitary confinement. Jerry, what day would Psalm 91 start on?
Okay, there are, I'll work this out at the moment. There's 17 verses in Psalm 90.
Right.
And we're looking at a kind of a two numerical offset. So the 17th verse would be the 15th of January. The 16th of January should be the first verse of Psalm 91.
January.
And that is, that is 1 week after. I mean, the last, the last time I'm shown on that calendar would be late on the 8th. So 1 week later would be late on the 15th and early on the 16th. And that would be a time, based on our expectation of our translation, that would be a time of the worldwide rapture.
Oh, my
immediately
gosh.
After the world,
God,
immediately
it's so
after
awesome.
The worldwide rapture.
I cannot
would be
believe.
The 3 days of darkness.
I cannot believe this. This is just completely blowing me away.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with Keith right now.
I'm just completely blown away.
Tana came over and we're hanging out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Way to go, Tana.
Mm-hmm.
We're just
going to go on and on about Jerry. We're just kind of lowering the volume.
No,
on that part
I
of
mean
it,
the fact that
show.
He, Jerry, how when were you led to look this up? 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay. Let me think. Today is the 6th. It would have been the very early morning of the 5th. Because I was still up before I went to bed. So it had been the early morning of the 5th is when I did that. But not like 8 o'clock, more like, you know,
right.
4 o'clock, something like that. 3, 4, I don't know. Sometime that night, maybe late on the night of the 4th, right around in there, it was the first time I did a calculation using his formula. And then yesterday, I didn't quite get back to it. I saw in general that it led me to these verses in Psalm 90 and that I thought there was a parallel. And then yesterday I didn't really get back to it until this afternoon. And this afternoon I finally got back to it and it really focused on the specific verses and the meaning of it and looked up the etymology of the Hebrew words.
Well, thank you for doing my work for me. I greatly appreciate it.
You're
welcome.
Keith.
It's about the psalm. I was going to ask you, remember how we were talking about how the psalms, like, remember how we said that each psalm was for each year? What was the last psalm year? Do you remember?
You mean how many chapters are there in psalms?
No. Remember how a psalm, Jerry, we talked about the psalm. That, you know, if you go and you can look up each psalm, it'll represent the year and what happened, like,
yeah.
1948, and, right? What
yeah, it, like Psalm 48 could represent 1948,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. What year did it end? Does it end in? I always forget which one. Is it this year?
The Ascension Psalm goes 118.
Yeah, the Ascension Psalm, yeah, exactly. So there's this menorah pattern of the Ascension Psalms, which goes through 118.
Mm-hmm.
119 is the psalm. It's like a, it's, and many people have considered it the center of all scripture. 119 is the one with a section for every Hebrew letter.
Right. What year does the 118 end in?
Well, that would be either 2017 or 2018.
So that would be, yeah, that's the end, 2018 is the end of the generation when Jesus says, you will see all these, you know, this generation will not pass until you see all these things. So, wow, okay.
Right. Yeah,
so we're in target.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And I actually have an inkling that it could be, it's worth considering that those numbers actually reflect the Hebraic years. In other words, yeah, so there's a little bit of a shift. And if you look at it that way in the past, it has, in many occasions when I've looked at it, seemed to line up a little better.
Okay, cool.
Because you basically the Hebrew year ends, you know, 3 months before our Gregorian year. But it's not a perfect thing either. This formula that Peter John uses, basically the Lord gave him a factoring, and that factoring represents a 7-year prophetic day count, 2,520 days. But then you divide into that the number of verses in the Psalms, which is something like 2,460 or some number. I can't remember what it was. But it was along those lines. Anyway, you end up with just a factoring. And that it's like 1.203 or something like that. And then you multiply that by the verse number from the, and then you add that, and that gives you the number of days. So, the you know, there's out of that 2,460-some verses, any particular verse has its own position in that order. And then you take that, multiply it by this factor, and then that gives you the day count from the 17th of December 2010. And then you go from the 17th of December 2010, however many days that is, and it gets you to a particular day associated with a particular verse. And you do not round up, is what I'm getting out of it. You don't round up, because you get decimals when you do this. And that's the pattern that he has used. And then for the first time ever, I actually went through and did the math on a verse. I was moved to do it this week, and this is what I've come up with. And Mary Ann's question is kind of blowing me away a little bit, because now what I'm seeing is, absolutely, when the combination of the vision that he gave me and our translation, and with the thought that the rapture, worldwide rapture, is also the beginning of his wrath and destruction on the earth, you know, more widespread destruction. That also that aligns exactly with that. These three things all align exactly with the beginning of Psalm 91, and we know what the content of that is.
Yep.
That's particularly, by the way, for Israel, because I believe when the worldwide rapture occurs, everything in the world becomes focused back on Jerusalem for real. And so I think it becomes a very Hebraic perspective about the world from that point forward. So that's...
I'm so blown away right now, Jerry. I just can't even...
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. I got you. Totally.
Got you.
Me too. Me too. Even though I was working on that, your question prompted me to take it a step further, and wow. So let's just say the first verse of Psalm 91 would, according to what we've been speaking about today, would line up with the worldwide rapture, and the first verse of Psalm 91 is, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty."
Amen. Yeah.
Got it.
There's a rapture verse for you.
Yeah.
And see, that's why I was being led that way, because I thought, you know, I bet that's the day that the worldwide rapture will be when that Psalm 91 is on that measure of days, not having a clue that you were doing the work for me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. I just do. It's the first time I've ever really felt motivated to do that, and I've really tried to resist standard garage work and only go with leadings and as best I can. Because quite frankly, I don't have the taste for it that I used to have. I'm in a very positive place about where he has us in general, even though we're in some extreme circumstances. Don't forget, that essentially lines up also with 17th of Tevet for us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anyway.
Great.
So, whoopee. I hope Jason listens to the show.
Yeah.
I still think we can go anytime. You know, but this was, I viewed this as an endpoint. There's obviously additional meaning there. And speaking of this, I see, Jason is calling me right now, but when I have tried to answer my phone, it has cut me off. So
doesn't Judy know how to do that, though?
Yeah, but my phone doesn't seem to do exactly what it's supposed to in that regard. So, and I haven't had a chance to get into it and look at it. I need to try. I need to try. But, oh, my gosh. This is huge. Well, anyway, I really, honestly, you can't get me more interested or excited or convinced. But you certainly can add wood to the fire. And that's what's just happened here, right here.
Gary, he's probably calling in about Psalm 91.
He probably is.
I don't
you know. I don't know if he's listening or not. I don't think he is, but maybe he is. Wow.
Have him send you an email and then read it over the line.
Or text
you. Yeah. Maybe he'll call Judy, and Judy can link him in, I think, if that's you know what?
Yes, you can take three.
We got about 20 minutes left. Let me I'm gonna play a song here, and I'll send a – let me see if I can connect everybody.
Gonna tell you what's cold, gonna tell you to drop something cold, but you won't.